Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do live every Thursday from 6 to about 6:30, give or take. And it is an opportunity for us to expand the reach of the work that we originally compiled into our book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And we've been leading pet loss groups for a really, really long time. And this podcast allows us to communicate with our audience members and to share with you some of the stories that we receive and to give some commentary on them. I'm kind of struggling here a little bit because my cat is pushing on me.
Esme.
Rollicking to the side. I'm trying to keep Esme out of the podcast or the video cast. And so you can reach us directly by writing to me at kenddv@gmail.com. And you can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. That's nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. The information I'm sharing in the beginning is all in the description that accompanies the program wherever you may find it, whether you're watching a video recast or listening to the audio replay. You can support our work in a number of ways. The newest way, and we're really excited about this, is by going to our Substack. And if you go to our Substack and subscribe, you can read all of the email correspondence that we have with people who are willing to share it. And they send us pictures and we respond. And sometimes sometimes we have a correspondence that goes on
for a while.
So you can find that information in the description, as I said. And there is a subscriber fee for that. It's $5 a month or $50 a year. And it's just one of the ways you can support our program. Mm-hmm. You can also support it through a Venmo donation or PayPal or a monthly subscription through Spotify. This program is a friend of... I'm struggling with Esme.
I can see that.
The Humane Society in Springfield, Mass. They do a lot of great things, and they're a shelter that has provided me with some of my animal friends rescued and now living with me. Esme is one of them, and she'll probably make a cameo because she's working hard on my computer and my laptop right now. Daykin sponsors a cost-free pet loss support group that I facilitate once a month. It's on the second Tuesday of the month and runs from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. You will find the RSVP 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and you'll find the RSVP link in the program description. And you can join from anywhere in the world. It is, as I said, cost free. We have people who join from all over the place, and it's
all over the world
because they often bring very distinct and different perspectives on the experience of their loss and healing. The next one will be on February 13th. So it's next Tuesday. And if you're interested in joining, please do RSVP as soon as you know, because we cap it at a certain number because we've had really strong attendance every time we do it. Please consider subscribing on YouTube if you find this program helpful, because if you subscribe on YouTube, it raises the program's visibility in the algorithm that allows people to find resources when they're searching for things like pet loss support. And so that would be very helpful. Also, if you can write a comment or you can give a thumbs up, that always helps as well. And finally, we'd like you to know that we have an affiliation with a program, a business called Bereave, that makes these really beautiful granite engraved plaques, memorial plaques. And here's a picture of one. Nancy's going to show you the example they sent to us in a couple of minutes. They're very nicely constructed, very solid. You can put them outside as a marker in a memorial garden or a gravesite, or you can put them maybe where you keep mementos of your beloved deceased animal companion. And so if you were to purchase a memorial plaque from Bereave, some of the purchase price goes to support our program as well.
Nancy, there's Bailey.
There's Bailey.
It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful place. Yep.
So Nancy, want to get us started?
Yes.
You're muted.
We have a story tonight. It's a beautiful story. And it's about Phil and Zoe. And Phil is actually with us. So I'm glad that you can join us, Phil. And it really talks to, you know, the human-animal bond. Zoe was his heart dog. And the whole bonding and excitement and joy that he got from this. Oh, she's such a beautiful little girl. And the devastation, you know, when she died. So I will start, and Ken's going to come in halfway. Hi, Ken and Nancy. This is the story of Zoe and Phil. I found your podcast in early November of last year. I'm a huge listener of podcasts, but mostly for food and tech. Never in my dreams did I think I would be searching for something to help me deal with the loss of my soul dog. I give you permission to share all of this or edit it if you like. I don't think I can express how much she means to me without the whole story, and this isn't the whole of it. I've rewritten it a few times to not be as long. I'm sorry it is so long. No worries, Phil. But as all pet parents know, we could write a novel about our families. Sorry for the amount of pictures, you know, and no problem, Phil, as well, having over 10,000 of them and an additional 500 to 600 videos makes it difficult to pick. I met my wife in 2007. She already had a purebred beagle named Sophie since 2002, but welcomed me into their pack with open arms. But my wife was her person. We lived in a condo in the Hudson Valley, and with no backyard, exercise was given with long walks around town. In early 2013, my wife has a friend who volunteers at Pets Alive in Middletown, New York, and while she called my wife in the morning saying someone had just dropped off a beagle who looked a little like a cannonball, I was off from work and headed right over there while my wife took a long lunch. I fell in love with Zoe right away. Little did I know her and I were kindred spirits in so many ways. As we became a family, it wasn't always smooth, especially with my wife and Zoe, who had some defensive tendencies, but also would most of the time only listen to me because I became her person. Our local vet at the time, during one visit, noticed that Zoe had a heart murmur, but at the time was just something to keep an eye on. That spring, we decided to move to Cape Cod. My parents have had a place there since I was a kid, and the prices of real estate and taxes were so much more manageable than finding a house in New York. We bought a small Cape Codder along the Cape Cod Rail Trail in Harwich with a fully fenced-in backyard. The house being small, the big backyard by Cape Cod standards being fenced for our beagles sold us. From then on, our girls live like queens. Having a doggy door on the screen door allowed them in the good seasons to come in and out as they pleased. Sophie wasn't the biggest outdoor dog, and when she was outside, liked to lay on the deck and sun herself. Zoe was the ultimate outdoor beagle, from laying in the mulch to barking at other dogs as they came along the trail to hunting and catching so many bunnies, I lost count. There wasn't a dog with a bigger personality. Not to mention, we lived a 4-minute car ride to Nantucket Sound, so there were many adventures on the beach walks. Zoe always deferred to Sophie because she was older and more established. My wife and I always said to her when Sophie got a little extra of whatever, that someday this will all be yours. At this point, my father, who was retired, started making some homemade food for his dog. And after seeing how her coat and energy levels changed for the better, I too started doing this. In addition to their costly dry kibble, they would also get a combination of beets, carrots, kale, blueberries that were buzzed in the food processor and then mixed with pumpkin puree, and the results were the same. Our girls were living their best lives. In late summer of 2018, something changed with Sophie. She obviously was getting older and had some arthritis, but that didn't stop her from being Sophie. One morning, she just seemed different. She didn't want to go for walks, and her appetite wasn't the normal beagle one. We took her to the vet, and she surmised that she might have had a mini stroke. Her health from there degraded, and if it wasn't for administering CBD from a local source, her time would have come much sooner. In November of 2018, my wife and I decided her quality of life wasn't getting better. We took her to our local vet, who had a separate room to enter and exit, and we helped her cross the Rainbow Bridge. She was 16. It was the first time in my life that I had to decide to do this and be with her to the end. We decided to bury our girl in the backyard just outside the fence line, so if we ever do move, we can come back and visit without trespassing. Having Zoe, who is now the boss of the house, was the best thing for me and us. There wasn't a day that went by or an hour that she wasn't up to something or delighting us with her hooliganness and or cuteness while she slept. Our bond as my soul dog deepened. My wife said that if she was a cuddler, she would be the perfect dog. Fast forward to March of 2020. With the pandemic happening and everything shutting down, an organization called BeFreegal was able to rescue about 10 beagles from a lab in the Hudson Valley. My wife wanted to rescue one to be her cuddle buddy. BeFreegal fostered out the lab dogs, and Abby was with a family in New Hampshire. I was hesitant, to say the least. After the loss of Sophie in 2018, I knew that when it was Zoe's time for me, it would be that much harder, and I didn't want to look forward to deal with more grief after Zoe. But my wife wanted to rescue Abby, so we drove 3 hours to pick her up. Being the pandemic, there was no meet and greet to see if we were a match. It was a drive there. The foster mom came out with Abby, and we were on our way back. Abby, being in a lab for the first 2 years of her life, didn't know how to be a dog. We have a two-step deck that to this day sometimes she gets stuck. Whatever testing was on her, we feel wasn't painful because she loves people and loves to cuddle. There wasn't a better dog to show Abby how to be a beagle. Not that Abby picked up on a lot of Zoe's traits, but made her feel at home. Granted, Zoe was very bossy with treats, toys, and whatnot, but like my wife and I said to Zoe, now this is all yours. During this time, the book, The Forever Dog, was published, and I devoured all the information to be able to make their food even better. As she aged, Zoe never slowed down. There were hiccups here and there, an occasional limp from jumping off the deck that would heal with some time, downtime, to a scary situation with a slipped disc that luckily with rest healed and she was back to herself. The days of the pandemic, we enjoyed them to the max, spending our days outside in the yard, romping around, or long walks on the trail looking for sticks to bring home to chew on. As life got back to normal, I made sure our lifestyle didn't change, spending as much time as possible with her. I never really bonded with Abby, whether it was my wish not to adopt her or for the fact that she was so challenged in her behaviors compared to Zoe, which isn't fair because every dog is different, but is how I felt. In May of 2023, while taking the girls for a morning business walk, which is about a mile in total, Zoe only got a quarter mile in and got out of breath very quickly, which was concerning. I contacted her vet, who had left the practice and started her own mobile vet truck. It was a nice service because she would come to the house, hang in the backyard, and the dogs didn't look at her like a vet. She examined Zoe and said she heard fluid in and around her lungs as well as her abdomen. Being mobile, she didn't have the equipment to fully give us a diagnosis. There was a brand new vet hospital in Yarmouth, which I made an emergency appointment for. Once I got there, the vet I spoke with was kind and talked about different options, taking into consideration of costs. I cut her off and said, I don't want a piecemeal. I want to have every test to be done that could help us find out what's going on. I stayed in the vet hospital working remotely for 7 hours. A few thousand dollars later, the report said that her murmur, which was a 3 out of 6, was now a 5 out of 6. They sent us home with pimodendin to help her heart pump more efficiently, as well as a diuretic to help remove the fluid. Here is where not being with your vet let us down. About a week later, our vet was finally given the records, and within the reports among all the medical speak, it was explained that her heart was failing or congestive heart failure. Needless to say, the news was devastating to us. Our vet said with medication and some luck, we were looking at about a year with her. Our new routine was me sleeping downstairs with Zoe, and the first medication needed to be given an hour before food, and our girls will wake us up at 6 for brekkie. So at 5 a.m., I would wake up, give her her first med, and have some coffee, and waited for them to harass me for breakfast. That was followed by a short walk with Zoe for some exercise before it came too humid and hot for her. The rest of the day was as before, but I always had one eye on Zoe. Now, for signs of a change in behavior and just loving looking at her. I also set up cameras in the house for when I was away, or Zoe decided to sleep in another room. I found myself waking up many times to make sure I could still see her breathing. The summer on the Cape was very hot and humid, but she didn't slow down. Her only limitation was endurance. Her personality or behavior never changed, which I am internally grateful for.
When the seasons changed and cooler temps were upon us, she did a lot better. Long days outside, and we just soaked up as much time as we could. I can honestly say I knew the end was coming, but she would do something to defy that reasoning. We had regular checkups with our vet to take some blood to make sure the meds weren't affecting her other systems. Late in October, on a normal vet visit in her truck, they couldn't get any blood. They tried a couple of times, and a combination of Zoe not liking it and them not being able to find a vein, the vet, I said, let's table this till next week, because she was not liking this visit at all. After our vet left, Zoe was back to normal, or as much as she could be physically. On a few nights when we went out for last call, which I had done with her on a leash to prevent sprints, I didn't use the leash, and she chased a rabbit. After not getting it, she would lay down and pant so heavily, I thought she would pass at that moment. Looking back, I wish it had happened like that. The first Sunday in November, she seemed after breakfast to be having a hard time, so just had a lazy day, and she recovered. That Tuesday night, she wasn't doing well and was disinterested in dinner, which I took as a sign. We had a blood work appointment for the next day, so we decided to keep her appointment, but let our vet know what was going on. Wednesday morning, we went for a short walk where we met one of Zoe's favorite people. A man named Jim would walk by our fence with his lab, Hogan, and Zoe would bark like a banshee. But on the way back, Jim would come around the back of our yard and give her treats through the fence. It was one of her favorite parts of her day. We walked not more than a couple hundred feet, and she was struggling to catch her breath. I had to go to work for a couple of hours, so my wife took a few hours of personal time till I got home. Once I got home, she seemed okay, but definitely something had shifted. I contacted our vet, and we talked, and we would see her later, but we had to talk about the situation, so we were all prepared for any situation. Secretly, I had hoped that she would make it to the weekend so we could shower her with all of her favorite food and places. For some reason, I decided to prepare for the worst. I dug a grave next to our Sophie, just in case. I was also lucky the ground hadn't frozen yet. Around noon, I was trying to give her some of her daily meds, and she wasn't interested. Whether I snuck it in a piece of steak or a piece of sweet potato, she didn't want anything, and for the first time, her out-of-breathness was happening without any physical exertion, and there was drool coming out. I called my wife at work and told her to come home, as I felt our visit with our vet would be the final one. Once we were all in our home, we sat and talked for a while for our vet to be able to see Zoe's behavior. She was in her favorite bed, but sitting up with her head up and was struggling to get air. Our vet said the words we needed to confirm what we thought. My wife and I laid with Zoe on the floor and kept telling her we loved her, that she's the best girl, and that I can't wait to see her again, see you again, over and over while petting her and kissing her. The transition was very peaceful, and our vet and vet tech left us with her. Once we had known back in May that day was closer rather than further, I started wearing a black hoodie to bed every night that she loved to lay on. For this day, I laid that sweatshirt in her favorite bed, and what happened next I will never forget. For the first time, I picked her up, and there was no life in her body. It's a feeling and memory I will never forget. My heart shattered into more pieces than it already was. We tucked her in and covered her up with her favorite blanket and laid her to rest next to Sophie. Needless to say, that first week and month was horrific. I barely left the house, ate any food, or interacted with anyone. since I've had to force myself to go to work, talk with people, all the while keeping my grief in my private moments to be with my wife, private moments or with my wife, excuse me. Every day, life has become a shell of what it was. Her presence in the home was such a driving force in our everyday life. When Sophie passed, as hard as it was, we had Zoe to focus on. Abby is like a mouse in the house, and it feels empty. I'm not doing well. I cry every day, and the pain in my chest is always present. I've thought about rescuing another beagle in need. Most of the ones I have found are ones that came from a lab. Not saying they will be as meek as Abby, but I feel I need a dog like Zoe, who was so full of personality, assertiveness, and just a dog who we say does what she wants. I set up a meet and greet with a beagle from the nonprofit Homes for Animal Heroes, and it was fine. The dog was super friendly, but also from a lab, and would be a great addition to our home. But I don't want to bring a dog into our lives for me not to be fully invested. I take Abby on many walks, but the feeling that I had with Zoe on going on adventures is not there. Maybe it's too soon, but I know my wife and I have so much care to give that I am being selfish by not saving another. I sometimes feel that I shouldn't get another dog because I will compare them to Zoe, which I know any dog won't be the same. If we rescue another dog, I hope that would distract from my grief, but I don't want to stop grieving for Zoe because she meant so much. Here are some random thoughts. Listening to your podcast and hearing other stories of losses and all the ways that animals leave us with all the other health issues that can happen, I find a little solace in the fact that Zoe was Zoe right to the end. I also feel robbed of years as Sophie made it to 16 and we got Zoe on such a better diet earlier. We thought we had cracked the code in terms of nutrition. People who know how we feed our girls tell me that if she didn't have that nutrition, she might not have lasted this long. I get jealous of the bond my wife has with Abby and long for the time Zoe and I didn't get to have. Looking back on it now, I'm thankful that I was able to work from home and spend some time with her, not knowing that the end would be sooner rather than later. Going for a walk with Abby just doesn't have the same satisfaction that it did with Zoe. I started listening to your podcast from the beginning while walking Abby and decided that when the day of her passing came, that I would write our story. I also wear sunglasses, even on cloudy days, to hide my tears from others. On our walks, mostly on the beach, I started to find smooth rocks that stuck out to me. I've been collecting them and placing them on Zoe's grave when I come home and tell her I love her and miss her. Here's an image of her grave.
Oh, so pretty.
I do feel some relief for the ending of the stress of worrying and caring for her, which I wish I could still be doing, but the toll it took on me, I'm still recovering from. I love looking at the thousands of videos and photos we have of our girls. In those moments, they are with me again. Then I break down and cry. I don't want to stop grieving for her as I feel that our bond will fade. I found an artisan on Etsy who I sent some of her fur to, and she encased it in resin for a ring for me that I wear, but take such special care of as well. Our friend Jim and his wife Sheila sent us the nicest card and gift for Christmas. A local artist painted Zoe on an ornament. I think I have that here.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Saying on the card I have seen before, but I took it a step further. Zoe and I will be linked to my last day when I hope to see her again.
Oh, yes, they do. Phil, that is such a beautiful story. And I have to say, it's so important that you are so open with your feelings, you know, and the difficulty sometimes, you know, not wanting to betray Zoe. So you don't know if you can not grieve for her, you know, feeling a little jealous that, you know, your wife had more time but this is really, it's really important for you to have those feelings and to acknowledge them. Because when you do, it helps you move through this.
Yeah. And the thing about those kinds of feelings, if you don't acknowledge them, they tend to fester, and sometimes you act on them in ways that you then regret. And so it's so important to just be forthright and honest with yourself. And I want to echo what Nancy said. It's always impressive when a man is able to be so connected to his feelings, because it's a broad stroke. It's not true of any of us by any stretch, but in general, we're just not as good as women at that. Mm-hmm. We haven't been taught, and we haven't had role models who showed us that it was really okay to show all of our feelings. And it's really healthy to be able to do so. So it's really good to see the depth of feeling that Phil is expressing.
Yeah. And Phil, you will never forgive Zoe. And, you know, you will get another dog, because I know that you and your wife really love to take care of a dog or multiple dogs. And, you know, but Zoe's going to be one of a kind. Yep. And Abby's different, and Sophie was different, and the next one you have are different. But you and your wife have to make that determination of when that happens, because then neither one of you will feel bad about it or concerned about it or hold back feelings about it. And you may not be quite ready, and that's okay, right? I also want to mention, because this has happened a few times in some of our podcasts, and it happened to me, and there is something about lifting your loved one after death. Our Jackie was almost a year ago now. He died last March, and I held him, and then when he had passed, I was like, oh my God. And it's such, I don't think I don't think I'll ever forget that. It's such a different feeling than when they're alive.
There is something so palpable about the difference between a living being you love and you feel a great relationship with, you're connected to, and just the shell that's left when the spirit is gone. I've noted that with my father, with my mother, with my dogs, with my cats. It's so different. Yeah. They're not there.
I know, and it's not. But but they're heavy, right? So you're. Yeah. It's a very odd and difficult, you know, experience. But you know, I love that you are working through this. I love that you are, you know, making her a little grave so pretty. You know, these are things that will help you heal and get through this, because she isn't away. She's only physically. She's with you in spirit and in your heart. And she changed your life like they do. And I think that that's something that you will continue to work on. And someday you will have another to be with Abby. But I'm glad you have your photos. I'm glad you have your videos. I think that that's so helpful.
She was a beautiful, beautiful,
really stunning beagle.
And you had such a brilliant, close, loving relationship with her. And it's also interesting to me how, obviously, you are loving and kind to, you were to Sophie and you are to Abby, but there's something so special.
There's something about Zoe.
What happens? It's really, it's just a mystery, but it happens to us that there are some of our animal companions who touch our hearts in ways that are so deep and enduring that it's just different. It's really, really different.
The other thing too, when I'm looking at one of the pages here, there is something about relief in death if there's been so much illness and watching them as they, you know, they decline. And because you're on top of them, you're watching every move. You're want your hands on with them all the time. You're very attuned to how her breathing was. You know, you guys did talk about this and really confer with your vet and knew, you know, you did come to know when her time was right. And it was peaceful, thank God. We've had, you know, because the vein issue, I know at one point there was a vein issue of getting her blood. But this is the process, and you have very articulated this, and a lot of people are going to resonate with your whole story about how important Zoe was to you. And will always be important to you.
Yep. And there's a number of comments, and from the comments, I can see that Phil can see them. So that's good. I'm not going to show them all because there's a whole bunch, but they're all very much sympathetic and sharing their support for Phil and for his family. And so we really appreciate this, Phil.
Yes, thank you, Phil.
We're going to share all your photos on the Substack.
I couldn't share them. You have so many. She was so beautiful. I have beagles growing up, Phil.
I believe that Phil sent us videos too. So
I'll
share those as well. So thank you once again. We really appreciate it. We only did one story this week because Phil's was long and so full of rich content that we thought we would just spend the whole time with this one story.
Thank you.
So thanks again, everybody. And thank you, Phil, so much.
Take care.